What if kittens played the glockenspiel? And what if unicorns were real? What if you could fly or travel back in time? We welcome you to What If World. What if world? This is What If World.
Hey there, folks, and welcome back to What If World, the show where your questions and ideas inspire off-the-cuff stories. I'm Mr. Eric, your host, and today we're starting off with a call-in question from Natalie.
Hi, Mr. Eric. My name is Natalie. I am 12 years old, about to turn 13. I really love making paper dragons and making my brother happy. My question is, what if both dogs make all the dragons turn into paper, and they all want to eat donuts, and yeah. Bye, Mr. Eric. I love your podcast so much. Bye.
Natalie, thank you so much for your question. You may know that we here at What If World love dragons and donuts and paper. And if you didn't know that, then this episode is for you because of our next question from Kayla. Kayla wrote us a very nice review on Apple Podcasts and wrote, "Help! It's been 3 years! Please explain what happened when I was gone! Also, Draco Max is still my favorite character after 3 years. And what if Fred the dog had power so he could turn any non-living things alive?" Okay, I'm gonna do my best with all that, Kayla. And I'm gonna get a hand from a lot of my What If friends, thanks to our final idea from Joshua W. on Spotify. Joshua asked us to do a story that contains every person in What If World. And yes, we've gotten a lot of questions that involve every single character. So if you've ever asked it, I want to thank you too.
And I want to thank Gil.
Oh, hi, Abacus.
Yes, Gil wanted me to tell you that he loves to read, play the piano, and do karate.
I did all those things as a kid, too.
And I, Kathunkle, am here to shout out Ollie, who sometimes goes by Xavier, and uses he, they pronouns, and is a Therian. They say that Kathunkle... That's it, they just say Kathunkle. But with a lot of E's at the end, like Kathunkle. And also, I love this show. You are my favorite person. Oh, thank you, Ollie Xavier. I think you are one of my favorite people now, too.
All right, folks, if you're new to this show, then strap in. You've got a lot to learn. And if you've heard every episode 3 times, like some of our listeners, well, we've still got some good gags for you coming up. So let's find out. What if Fred the dog made all the dragons turn into paper and they all wanted to eat donuts? What if Fred the dog had power so he could turn any non-living thing alive? What's been going on in What If World the last 3+ years? And how many What If characters I am going to squeeze into this episode? Your story starts after a quick break. Fred the dog was an old pug mixed with some other kind of dog, and his tongue was far too long for his mouth. Which is part of the reason he sounded like this.
Like what, Mr. Eric?
Yes, Fred can also see and interact with the narrator in What If World. A lot of people seem to be able to do that.
It's not like you're hiding behind a rock or something.
And Fred should know, because he'd recently licked a magic rock that gave him the ability
to make things come alive and also turn dragons into paper.
And that's just why Kathunkle needed his help.
Fred, it is I, Kathunkle, the new president of What If World, and the ancient hideous horror from beyond the universe.
You just kind of look like a big squidopus to me, but you do you, Kathunkle.
Thank you, I shall.
Now, I would describe Kathunkle to you, but he is technically an indescribable horror, so you're just gonna have to use your imagination. But right now, he was wearing an apron, and not his usual barista apron that he uses while running the Kathoffee shop.
No, this is my chef's apron.
I guess Kathunkle can hear me too.
I'm a multidimensional creature. I can hear everything, except spider sneezes.
Do spiders sneeze?
Never mind that, Fred, I need your help.
Well, as the former and more popular president, it is my duty to help usher you into this new job.
Well, Fair Elise was the president before me, and then you before her, and then JF Cat was the first president.
Why are you telling me this?
Like, not a lot of people remember the second president.
I do. It was Johnferson.
John Adams, but close friend.
Yo, Kadunka, what do you need my help for? I heard you were good at making paper dragons. So could you lick my invitations and have them fly themselves to everyone in What If World and invite them to my barbecue?
Oh, yeah, sure thing. I figure if I can make dragons into paper, I can make paper into dragons.
And indeed, all the invites came alive and flew themselves away. The first two guests to arrive, not surprisingly, were time travelers Wendy Anna Joan and the Learninator. Oh, I'm sorry, I was late.
No, you're the first ones here.
No, I was late the first time I showed up, so then I traveled back in time to the beginning of the party, said Dr. Joan. She was an inventor, an explorer, and a time traveler who could use her one cybernetic leg to step into the past or future.
Our trajectory was off. We are not at the party yet.
But there's the host right there.
No,
said the Learninator, holding up a paper dragon that wriggled in his hand.
The invite says that the barbecue will be held at the Squidadel at the center of Squid Lake.
Well then, lead the way, Kathunka.
I shall. You can all breathe underwater, right?
No.
I do not breathe.
I don't know. I'd never tried.
Good enough. Let's go.
Kathunkel had been standing at the shore of Squid Lake, overlooking a large, beautiful, run-down castle and school called the Observatorium.
Abacus, are you coming?
Well, I'm still stuck in your crystal ball, so I guess I have no choice,
said Professor Abacus P. Grumbler,
the most talented wizard of all time, who never gets himself trapped in crystal balls, except for this once.
Abacus, why is it that you are lying out your teeth right now?
Well, there might be some new listeners hearing this episode and they won't know the difference.
But Abacus, your spell success rate is a dismal 42%,
said the Learninator.
Oh, that's higher than I thought it would be.
Would you mind conjuring them some fish globe things so they can breathe underwater?
Abracadabra!
And the floating head of Abacus, inside his crystal ball, made similar-looking crystal balls appear over all the heads of the non-water breathers.
Are we sure I need this? It's going to make licking stuff kind of hard.
The next guests to arrive were Fair Elise, her partner Sprite O'Right, and their daughter Pixicato.
All right, I gotta say, it's been so nice not having to teleport everyone everywhere,
said Sprite O'Right, a colorful, wish-granting, teleporting sprite whose hair was as big as her attitude.
Yes, darling, you've made that quite clear,
said her partner Fair Elise, What If World's greatest detective and a former president.
Mom, Mother, will there be any kids my own age attending this party?
Asked Pixicato, a young pixie who had inherited a little bit of magic from each parent and was using it to try to detect other kids.
Do not worry, Pixicato. My nephew, Scully the Squid, is setting up the barbecue in the courtyard of the Squididel.
I thought you called it the Fortress of Squiditude, Kathunkle,
corrected Pixicato.
I call it lots of things.
They were all working their way from the shore of Squid Lake down to the very bottom. Some of them were trudging through muck, while their crystal helmets allowed them to continue breathing. And others, like Fred, were doggy paddling through shoals of squid and consortiums of octopi.
Hey, you got some long octo arms and squid tentacles, my friends. But check out his tongue.
And he squeezed his tongue out the bottom of his crystal ball helmet.
Very long.
So pink.
Quite slimy.
The various cephalopods murmured appreciatively. Soon they arrived at the picnic.
Barbecue.
Excuse me, Kathunkle, barbecue.
No, barbecue. Isn't that what you mortals call it?
It was then that Petey the Pirate arrived at the bottom of the lake and grabbed one of the many crystal ball helmets Abacus had laid out for the guests.
Ahoy, Mr. Eric! Could this be your first blarbecue?
Yes, is everyone else hearing the same word I'm hearing?
Yeah, I thought it was just a regular barbecue, but now I'm seeing the L there. Learninator, might you explain to us?
I've got it, said Petey. A blarbecue is quite simple. There's buried treasure across this citadel, or squididdle, and different delights and horrors will be found in each treasure box. Yes, Petey and I used to do battle back when he would sail his pirate ship on top of Squid Lake and I would sink it, and it's all a long time ago.
And before I discovered about the blarbecue.
Personally, I hope he buried a lot of tuna fish, said JF Cat, one of world's original president, a black and white spotted cat and a connoisseur of tuna fish, and soon to be a connoisseur of blob.
It's blarb.
Blob, that's what I said.
Blarbecue.
Blarbecue.
Blarb.
Blob. Nailed it. Of course, Petey the Pirate showed up with Potty the Pirate.
Ahoy.
Polly the Pirate.
My parents were parrots.
And Petrina the Pirate.
Thanks for saving the best for last, amigo.
Then arrived Dracomax, who needs no introduction because he introduces himself,
said Dracomax.
He was the world's largest dragon, though some time ago he lost his wings. He has since got
wonderful paper wings that are getting a little wet.
Oh, don't worry, I dry them off.
Okay, yes.
What are you doing?
I wouldn't suggest that.
I feel kind of foldy.
I am entirely paper now, aren't I?
Never fear! I will waterproof your paper,
said Abacus, his crystal ball spinning around with a vibrant purple light.
Make this dragon waterproof. Don't make another magic goof.
And everyone's little paper dragon invitations, and the giant paper dragon Dracomax, all seemed impossibly dry and sturdy, even though they were underwater.
Your magic has worked, though now I have a strong craving for donuts.
I'll reach with my long tongue and grab some donuts.
Oh, don't worry about it, Fred. Mama Jamma's here to help.
And Mama Jamma showed up with the whole Jammaloo family, her partner Pubaloo, her eldest daughter Zizi, and their youngest son, Zach.
And we brought donuts,
shouted Zach. And indeed, each of them carried a box.
This was supposed to be more of a blarbecue,
said Kathunkle.
There's plenty of blarb for everyone.
Oh, thanks a lot there, Kathunk. We just wanted to share something we love with all of you.
Communal giving is not the point of a blarbecue.
Oh, boy,
said Zizi, pulling out her wand, as she'd recently started taking more advanced magic classes.
A blarbecue, as all interdimensional horrors know, is a chance to compete and discover who can throw the worst party possible.
Oh, I'm sorry, sweetie. We want to respect your culture.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't involve you doing horrible things to us.
Oh, dear. And as president, I'm also going to have to not do horrible things to everyone, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Uh-huh.
Yes, Kathunkle.
Not even by accident.
Oh, this is going to be hard. I think I need a minute.
And as Kathunkle fled deeper into the Squididdle, he disappeared in a cloud of ink and out emerged.
Oh, hey, everybody. It's me, Scully the Squid. I just finished hiding the last of the blarb. So now you can all go search for it.
And I, Baby Recap, have sprinkled tidbits about the past of What If World into each treasure chest you find,
said Baby Recap, a little black and white baby with an old-timey news hat who had the power of remembering the past, which is harder than you might think.
Find the chests and learn everything there is to know about What If World.
Sounds like a lot of work, even for our Radbot,
said Randall Radbot, who was entirely encased in a crystal ball.
because water wasn't very good for his circuits.
Unlike me, my chrome is waterproof.
Yeah, yeah, Learninator. You're beep beep awesome.
I know,
but can't we just like tell people what if world is?
You know, that's a good idea. So we take your what if questions and we do crazy stuff like this every week, but we also try to help you through problems that you might experience by sharing our stories.
Error! Sorry, I was wrong, Mr. Eric. Finding the chest will be more fun.
You're probably right. Just save some blarb for me.
Ooh, I don't know about that, Mr. Eric. The detective's code says finders keepers.
Alabaster Zero, that is not what the detective's code says.
Okay, then what does it say, and where is it written? I'm trying to be a better detective.
And Feralise and Alabaster Zero used teamwork to uncover their first chest of blarb beneath a bale of slimy seaweed.
All right, let's just open this up and, that is,
horrifying beyond imagining.
Every time my eyes try to look at it, I lose track of time and what dimension I'm in. Very good, Alabaster. That means it's working.
You found some blarb. And also a What If World tidbit. Alabaster Zero just got back from a multi-dimensional jaunt across the world pool, where What If World characters get recast into different roles.
And I also met a villain that goes by the name of Wardrobe, but has the same voice as Papaloo.
Oh, what's that now?
In fact, I should make sure that's the real Papaloo.
Oh no! Whoever he's really good at finding chests.
And the Jamaloo family opened their chest.
I think the blarb is trying to eat me,
said Zack, but he was drowned out by Recap.
Before the world pool, there was the time vortex, where What If World was entirely emptied out of characters, because Fred the Dog was left to host the show for a day.
But other than that, I did a pretty good job.
Fred and JF Cat had teamed up with Mr. Mouser and Cleocatra.
There is always something good hidden in the garbage,
said Mr. Mouser, a little old mouse who was a very hard worker.
Yes, please dig in the garbage and bring me back anything that I could eat or roll in,
said Cleocatra, lounging on a Persian rug she'd brought from home. When Fred, JF Cat, and Mr. Mouser opened their trash-covered treasure chest, the blarb spoke to them.
What If World also has a show called Guilds and Goblins, a show within a show, where people roll dice and make characters and play in a fantasy world that's even more fantastical than this one.
Okay, the blarb is talking, right? Everyone hears that?
Yeah, it's talking about that game you play that I sleep through. It's called Gobos and Boobas or something.
Those are Fraggles, JF Cat. This game's called No Freddy Stop Chewing the Dice.
Just then, a ball of molten rock hurled through the air, crashing into Squid Lake, nearly landing on top of Wendiana Joan and the Learninator, who were just showing up late.
This is why I say to be punctual.
Just travel back in time before the comet hits us. Fortunately, it wasn't a comet exactly. It was...
Molamo! Sorry, I'm late, and I almost crushed a few people and paper airplanes.
We're paper dragons, and we're alive.
Yeah, Fred licked us. Oh no, his breath is terrible. Are you okay?
I mean, we live in a lake that's mostly slime.
Oh, it's Molamo,
said Abacus P. Grumbler.
You should help me find some blarbecue, and maybe also free me from this crystal ball. I despise a blarbecue, and Kathunkles are the worst.
Thank you, said Kathunkle. At least someone gets it.
And Molamo ran off with Abacus in search of blarbecue, as Lola Rabbit showed up with her big sister Rola, their entire bunny family, and also every other What If character I haven't had time to describe.
Hey, now it's a real body, said Lola Rabbit.
And the Pipios are here too.
I'm a tree, you know, named Harry. Go, go, go.
And I am Alvarati, and this is my sister. How very not that guy. What a surprise.
Why is everyone singing? You're supposed to be looking for Blarb. It's the only way. You'll learn all there is to know about What If World in roughly 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's really not gonna be possible. But we sort of gave them broad strokes.
But this was supposed to be my first big presidential shindig.
And it has been not entirely a disaster.
Which makes it better than most of our presidential parties, Kathunkle.
Congratulations!
But the people at home, they don't know what if world is.
Oh, Kathunkle, they don't need to know. It's absolutely ridiculous.
But sometimes there's an important lesson.
And lots of magic.
And more than a lick of time travel.
And villains from other dimensions who have the same voices as people from this dimension.
Dad?
And if there's a story you need a recap to understand, you'll always have me, Baby Recap.
Who's also my little brother, even though I'm 1,000 and he's a baby.
That's a long story. I'll just start recapping it now.
No.
Or not necessary, dear.
I think it's time we be going.
Let's all go watch Disney Plus.
How did this guy get here?
Dracula could tell you in the form of a joke.
Mr. Eric, please end this story.
A squid and a pirate swim into a bar.
Wait, now hold on.
The end.
Yarr, I wanted to hear that.
Joshua, Kayla, Natalie, thank you for your questions. I'd like to thank Karen O'Keefe, my co-creator, Craig Martinson for our theme song, my producer, Miss Lynn, and all you kids at home who enjoy trying new things when they're ready and listening to old stories when they need to unwind. Until we meet again, keep wondering.
You're listening to ICANN. The International Children's Arts Network is made possible by Hoffman Academy. Online piano lessons for kids. Learn more at hoffmanacademy.com.